if any of you still here, came just for the Mass Choir presentation and all, you're welcome to stay for the rest of the service. It won't be long, but you're also welcome to leave if you need to or want to. This is the time where we were planning to have a short message, and now I think it will be even shorter. I'm casting about in my mind how much I should actually share this morning. This has been wonderful, hasn't it? To hear them, to sing with them, to worship the Lord in this way, to fill this room with the praise and honor to the Lord with such good volume and hearty singing. I've appreciated it. Knowing that this was to happen, I skipped some verses in my walk through Ephesians and came to the ones that I wanted to focus on this morning, and I think we'll turn our attention there for a few minutes. At Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. Verses that speak to us about singing to one another and singing to the Lord. And a few thoughts to remind us that that's what we've been doing, and that's what we intend to do whenever we are together in settings like this and in other places as well. In Ephesians, we're talking about, with Paul, we're thinking about being called in him to forgiveness and life in Christ and living it out now in the church. And in the practical section of the book, chapters 4, 5, and 6, he talks about the walk of the Christian, that practical living it out. What we have experienced and brought into in Jesus Christ is now to be lived out. And one of the practical ways that he talks about that is now in verses 19 and 20 of chapter 5. Really, 19 and 20 are only part of a long sentence that I will read, and we will look then particularly at verses 19 and 20. But in the sentence that begins with verse 15 and goes all the way to 21, it's kind of a long sentence, and in the English translations, it's broken up into shorter sentences, and you will see that. But in the Greek, it was one long sentence as the Apostle Paul wrote it, and he was talking about our walk and the necessity of walking with wisdom together, not foolishly, but directed by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And a part of being filled with the Spirit, verse 18, is our text then. The three things that we will notice there. Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. The Spirit-filled life, directed by the Holy Spirit, has three characteristics that are identified in our text this morning. First, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Second, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And third, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those three things are marks or characteristics of the Holy Spirit being in control in our lives. And the first one is how we address one another. The part that particularly impressed me as I was thinking about this text is that worship in song is not always and just for God, but it's for ourselves. It's to one another. Did you notice that in the text? We are addressing one another in the things that we say and the things that we sing. And as we do so, this is an important part of our worship. Together has been a powerful word for us as a congregation the last 2 years, as we've done many things together. Renovating this room, rebuilding the sanctuary, starting afresh in many ways. And this emphasizes that together we also are singing to the Lord, and we want that to be a part of our life and worship in the Lord. Singing isn't just a filler in the service or just sort of a prelude to the sermon or something like that. In the twin sister verse of this passage in Colossians 3, one that's almost like it, singing is expressed, the word of Christ is to dwell within us in two prominent ways: the speaking or teaching of the word and the singing of the word. And that's what we have this morning. I'd like for us to recognize that teaching and singing go together as the two great ways that God has ordained for his word to dwell in our hearts and to fill us and to fill each of us. When I was a boy, little boy, mom and daddy would gather the four of us and sit on the couch every morning, and we would have our time of Bible story, Bible reading, questions, and we'd have a time of singing. And one of us little boys early on dubbed this our Bible sing time. And that name stuck for family worship in our family for most of my growing up years. We had Bible sing. And it was a good reminder to us now, as I think of this, that those two components ought to be a part of our regular family worship: the Bible and singing. And so if you don't have the hymn book out yet, get it out and put it alongside the Bible when you have family worship, so that together you have these two components in your family worship. Well, we do that obviously in our church services as well. Singing isn't just a suggestion, something that is optional. No, singing is commanded. Many, many times in the scriptures, we are commanded to sing and to sing to the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and so on. These psalms and hymns and spiritual songs are different kinds of songs that are sung, and there are many kinds that are appropriately addressed to God and to one another as we sing them. The psalms, probably Israel's collection that we have in our Bible. Hymns, a song of praise or adoration, addressed and directed to God, and as such, it becomes a prayer. Because as we sing a prayer to God, it's sort of like talking to God, addressing him, acknowledging who he is, what he has done, and adoring and praising him for that. Spiritual songs are poems set to music, not just any kind of songs here, but spiritual, that is sacred, and songs that address God and our experience with the Lord. These are to edify and to build us up. These are to encourage us. And I'd like to encourage us this morning to become more intentional about our singing, that as we sing, we are addressing one another and we are inviting others to sing along the same words at the same time, the same tune, and yet we are singing it to one another, encouraging each other and hopefully expressing the same faith and the same hope that we have in Christ as we sing together. So look at one another in the eye and keep your heart in it and keep addressing the songs and think of them as a challenge or a blessing to the others. The second characteristic of being controlled by the Spirit is singing to the Lord, making a melody, making music. That's what singing is. It's using our vocal cords to express a melodious song. It's much more catching and memorable and striking than just talking, as I am doing to you now. Singing is a way of expressing a melodious and beautiful way, something that ministers to our spirits. And it sort of reaches down into our soul and hangs on there, and it's something that's memorable and makes the text easier to remember and to rehearse again at another time. And so singing to the Lord with your heart can mean maybe doing it quietly in your spirit, yes, but I think it's also singing with all your heart or with full attention and sincere conscious giving of your attention to what you're singing, because the heart needs to go along with the lips. Otherwise, it is profane worship, worship that isn't really heartfelt and attention. And so even as we were singing this morning, it's easy to sing along when we know the songs and to mouth the words and our mind is off somewhere else. Oh, it's doing the chores at home, or it's talking with someone else, or it's remembering a task I've got to do on the job. You know, it's easy to have our mind somewhere else. Let's sing with all our heart and sing and make melody to the Lord. And as we do it, we acknowledge that we're not all good and experienced singers like we just heard here this morning. And even in the congregation, there's a lot of difference in musical ability. And I acknowledge my own lack of professional or good skill in singing. And yet, as was pointed out, we're not commanded to always sing a perfect tune, but to make a joyful noise. And I wonder if when we get to heaven, if I'll be allowed to stand there in Gabriel's choir and sing along. And if so, I expect afterwards he's going to tap me on the shoulder and say, "John Ivan, I think you'd benefit from some voice lessons. Let's see what we can do." And I expect I'll have a good learning and growing experience in that up there under Gabriel's tutelage. In the meantime, down here, I'm going to continue to make a joyful noise and to sing to the Lord, keeping in mind that not only do we address each other on the horizontal level, but our primary audience is Him. God is our primary audience when we sing, when we address Him, when we are together in our worship times. And many of the hymns do directly address Him, but sometimes we are extolling Him or saying good things about Him and acknowledging what a wonderful God He is, a generous Father, and we're extolling salvation, we're anticipating our heavenly home, and we're singing to the Lord with our heart. Third, then, the third characteristic of being controlled by the Spirit is giving thanks. Well, this is sort of, you might say, an automatic part of singing, where we are expressing an attitude of gratitude, a special form of praise, a fundamental part of Christian worship. You know, singing is a part of Christian worship around the globe. It really is. It marks the times of Christians getting together, and they are singing. They're singing songs of adoration, praise, thanksgiving to the Lord. Well, when we think about all the blessings and the bounty and the generosity of a heavenly Father giving to us continually, just loading us with His blessings and provisions, none of which we deserve or have earned, we have lots to thank Him for, and we do well to express to Him our gratitude and our praise. Thanks and praise are slightly different. The psalm that we had here a bit ago was Psalm 100, entering into his gates with thanksgiving. And it's thanksgiving, or recognizing His gifts, that brings us into the gates. But then as we get closer to Him, as we come into His courts, it's with praise and with adoration of who He is and the wonderful character and person that God is. And we admire at that, and we sing and praise Him for that. There's different ways to give thanks. We can give thanks by singing, obviously. We can give thanks by praying, and we do that very deliberately and intentionally. We do that before the meals. We do that as a habit, you might say, but we do it intentionally also. We can also give thanks to God by sharing a testimony and telling others informally as you meet today, informally wherever you are, formally in sharing time at church. We can give a testimony in which we acknowledge what God has done, the gifts He has given, and we express our thanks to Him for that. Do we give thanks for everything? That's what it says, doesn't it? If we stumble over that and wonder, how do we give thanks for the bad stuff that happens? Let me just cite two characters in the Bible and make a comment on this. Job, in his time of suffering, suffered loss. He was in pain. He had loss of health and possessions. He did not curse God. He did not blame God. And yet he did not know all that was going on behind the scenes. We know it. We know that Satan is the one who instigated the affliction and the suffering that Job was experiencing. God is not to be blamed for that. And nor did Job actually say, thank you, God, for this. He wished he would never have been born. Job suffered immensely, and yet he did not. I don't think he was thanking God for the things that he was experiencing because of the pain and suffering he was in. Then I think also of the Apostle Paul, who wrote this letter and wrote, give thanks for everything. Remember when Paul and Silas were beaten in Philippi, were condemned and cast into prison and put into stocks, and there they were at night, immobile in these stocks. What were they doing? Hurting, I'm sure. And yet at midnight, they were praising God and singing so loudly that the other prisoners heard them. Were they thanking God for what these evil men had done to them? They were thanking and praising God, I'm sure, for his salvation, for his goodness, for his Holy Spirit, and for being present with them even this time of suffering, though God was not the one who had done this evil to them. I think that the command to give thanks for everything in this context is obviously in the context not of suffering, of evil, but it's in the context of Ephesians, the many blessings and good things that God has given to his people in Jesus Christ in bringing salvation and redemption and new life. It's in that context that we thank God for everything he has done. And that is in keeping, I believe, with other scriptures that teach us about thanking God. So let's not get hung up on that particular phrase, but rather in conclusion, let's just recognize that singing is important. It is good, and let's work at it even more and more here in our congregation as we come together. Let's sing regularly and often, personally and privately in our homes, even in your hearts and your devotional time. Sing intentionally for and with others to encourage and bless them in beautiful ways. Sing to the Lord to honor him, to thank and praise him. Let us continually in word and song give thanks and allow the songs we sing to draw us nearer, my God, to thee, and nearer to one another in our Christian faith. Someone has said there is no downside to singing, only benefits. And you know some of those, the benefit it is to your own soul to sing, to reflect on God, to let that sink into your spirit and touch and bless your spirit, because music does that in ways that just verbal words can't. There's no downside to singing, only benefits. Stanley, let's have a verse of song and then we'll conclude.